It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. We're talking Kings training camp, which opens today at noon. James is going to dip out a little bit early to make sure to be down there for the start of camp today. There are two big questions for me going into camp, and I think these are the big questions for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that I'm interested to see kind of throughout training camp and into the preseason, the Kings open their preseason at Golden 1 Center on October 9th against the Golden State Warriors. But I'm interested to see how the DeMar DeRozan thing looks. Less whether it works, just the how. Does it look substantially different to the layman, to the person who goes to eight Kings games a year? Does the offense look different to them? Or is it, it's the same offense, they just have DeMar DeRozan in it now?
Yeah, I'm intrigued too, because, you know, we've gotten so used to the dribble handoff, right? So, mm-hmm. So many people are like, what is a DHO? And like here in Sacramento, everyone knows what a DHO is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The dribble handoff.
Yeah, the dribble handoff.
Or you're dribbling and then you hand the ball off.
Yeah. It's not that complicated, but that's what it is, right? And I think a lot of people have gotten so used to that. And then last year we saw a reduction in it, right? It changed a little bit. There was more passing off of the handoff, and you know, there wasn't as much handoffs as there was just motion off the actual DHO motion. So I think we're all intrigued to see, does it mess up spacing? Is there a way to do this? And I think, you know, DeMar DeRozan said something yesterday that I thought was very, very interesting. He said, we always hear this, that there's only one ball and you got to, you know, like, how are you going to feed all the mouths and all that stuff? He's like, well, last time I checked, the Boston Celtics rolled out like an entire team of all-stars last year and had no problems figuring out how to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. You just have to go out there and hoop. You just have to play. And all of that other stuff will take care of itself. And so I think they're going in with a good mentality, and he's going in with a good mentality. And the thing is, I think it was Terry Taylor that talked about this, because he played with DeMar last year. He's like, you know, DeMar will have like 3 points in the third quarter, and I'll finish with 28.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, there's never been a walking bucket like him that many people have played with, where he just does what he does and he doesn't play outside of himself. He just has a very specific game that the Kings are going to have to adapt to a little bit. But at the same time, like, they needed somebody like this that could actually go out there and do something different than just run the offense. And someone who can play within the offense, but also someone that when everything breaks down, you can hand him the ball and say, hey, man, we got 8 seconds on the shot clock and a big moment. I need a bucket now. Can you go get it? And that's who he is.
He did that to the Kings.
To the Kings.
In Sacramento last year.
19 points in the fourth quarter.
End of the first half, 5 points.
Yep.
End of the third quarter, 14 points. By the time the fourth quarter ended, DeMar DeRozan had 33 points, and the Bulls walked out of there with a win.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, honestly, that's the thing that, I think is going to be, to me, the most notable difference is at the end of games. It felt like last year in the final 2 minutes of close games, not that they didn't know what to do, like they forgot how to play basketball, but there was a little uncertainty about like, hey, is it clear out for De'Aaron time, or is it clear out for Malik time, or is it run the offense time? And I think in the NBA, this can't be your offense all the time, because I think you kind of just get a really middle-of-the-road team if you do this.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes in the NBA, it's like, hey, get it to that bucket getter and clear out. We need a basket.
Yep.
Could stop everything. Forget. You go to the corner. You go to that corner. You guys go to the wings. Hey, DeMar, go to work. And maybe it's De'Aaron or maybe it's Malik. But having that in their bag, where it is a 6'6" bully who has made a career out of getting to 13 to 15 feet and hitting turnaround jumpers or getting to the free throw line, like that just, whether it's to staunch bleeding or to get a much needed bucket late in the game, that's where I think the most notable difference is going to be with DeMar DeRozan. Way more than, oh man, the game in, game out offense looks different. I don't think it's going to be a ton of that.
Yeah, and I'll bring this back to the year that the Kings had Zach Randolph, right? And mm-hmm. The Kings were not good the 2017-18 season, right? It's not a good season. The Kings finished 27-55. That wasn't a 27-55 team at mm-hmm. all. It was the first year of De'Aaron Fox, but also it's a year where they had three first-round draft picks. Bogdan Bogdanovic comes over and Frank Mason. Mm. The year before, they had four rookies because they traded for Buddy Hield. But also they had Scal, they had Malachi Richardson, they had Yorgos Papayannis. So basically you had nine players on your in your roster that were first and second-year players.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster. Every time they needed a bucket, they would throw it to Zebo, and he would back down and he would score on like 75% of them. That's what you now have. You have a guy now that, when not only a bucket, when you need to slow the game down, mm-hmm. you get it to DeMar and he'll go get to the foul line.
Yes.
I mean, the dude averages almost 8 free throws a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you need a
and
bucket.
He'll get the whistle.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have carryover.
Sure.
Sabonis might get the whistle.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox might get the whistle.
Can he just going to lead the league in free throws this year?
Well, maybe.
Can he make them?
That's going to be the question. I think the year before last, they were like
question number two for me.
Fifth in the league, right?
Yeah.
In free throw attempts. They got to the line a lot. Last year was a disaster, though.
Yeah.
Not only did they not get to the line, but they didn't hit their free throws when they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that he adds a new element that's different, and that's good.
Yeah. Mitch in New Jersey wants to talk about the value of the dribble handoff offense. Mitch, go ahead.
How's it going, James? Kyle, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
I think our team is good. Is there another move in the making? I want a little more size. Would you say? I think the Knicks have done a little more than the Kings. And with football, when you started, the Jets division is pretty weak. Because I think Miami, I didn't realize that Holmes is pretty bad. He couldn't even throw 100 yards. And Rodgers is a free agent. He's not going to be there next year. I think that's the worst division in football.
I would agree. Thanks so much for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you. Yeah, I don't think the Kings are going to make another move. And the Knicks have done substantially more than the Kings.
I think the Kings... yeah,
the Knicks had a huge offseason.
I think the Kings need to make sure that they know what they have. That they know how things work. And if they need to go out and get... Like, we've talked about this a little bit. There's a big difference between needing to go out and get Kyle Kuzma and needing to go out and get Dorian Finney-Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who the Kings need more at this point. And until it all plays out and we see
how
it looks.
Say those two names again? Dorian Finney-Smith and who?
Kyle Kuzma.
Mm.
Like, we don't know. We don't know who they really need. And until we figure out who they really need, then, you know, there shouldn't be a rush.
They seem pretty content to let it rock with this group and then figure it out in February.
Well, yeah, and I understand that because at the end of the day, if Kevin Huerter becomes a 24-minute-a-game three-point specialist off your bench at the small forward position,
mm-hmm.
this team looks a lot different.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the way it all works out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's not, if he can't play off the bench and like there's, you're trying to figure out lineups the whole time, yeah, that's one thing. But like, sometimes you just need to let things sit in the pot and see how it all grows together. You mm-hmm. know, you got to undercook the onions, right?
Sure.
And see if it all blends together. It's an Office reference.
I hate when people undercook my onions. It's the worst.
Yeah.
I missed the Office reference. I'm sorry. I'm working through it. I'm working through that show as we speak.
Oh.
I've watched it. So when I first got Netflix, The Office was the reason I got Netflix because I wanted to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2010. And so I started watching. I think I got through like season 4 and just kind of fell off the wagon.
Okay.
And so I need to get back into the into the swing. I'm working on it.
There's an episode where Kevin brings in his family's chili.
Yes, and he spills it. He spills the memes.
But the key, Kevin will tell you, is the key to a great chili
mm-hmm.
is to undercook the onions so then they cook in with everything else.
Yeah.
And so that's where that reference comes from.
I see.
Yeah. And then he spills it all over the carpet.
Tough. A tough go for our guy, Kevin. You mentioned Kevin Herter. I'm working on a theory. I'm workshopping this. I'm not ready to commit to the take yet.
Okay.
I'm workshopping this take that Kevin Herter, I'm workshopping it. I'm not committed. The Kevin Herter should start at the two, because if that's the way you can maximize what you're getting from Kevin Herter through the rest of your rotation, through the rest of the game, because he feels good about himself that he's a starter, and maybe it's a short first rotation, maybe it's 4 minutes to start the game or whatever, but if that's just what is going to get Kevin Herter to lock in and give you the kind of year that he gave you in 2022-23, then I think you do it. If that is how, if Kevin Herter is such, if he is in such a space that he's like, hey man, I really need a starter. I'm gonna mentally spiral again, and I'm gonna have a tough year. If that's what it's gonna be, then I'm all in. Then start him.
Okay, so I'm
workshopping this take.
I'm of the opinion that you build out a starting unit that complements everyone, and yes, Kevin Herter has skills that can complement a couple of the players, especially mm-hmm. in the offensive end. But on the defensive end, the player that complements the team the best is Keon Ellis. And mm-hmm. We didn't ask this specifically, but it was out there yesterday that Keon Ellis is going to act as the starting shooting guard through training camp until Kevin Herter's back, and then whatever happens mm-hmm. then. And we'll get into more of that as we get deeper into training camp. But the idea that if you're going to build a starting five and four of those guys are elite scorers, I'm going to have one guy who's a defender. I'm going to have one guy who is a three-point specialist and sits mm-hmm. back. And like, look, the guy I would point to for Kevin Herter, if he does come off the bench, is going to be Kyle Korver. Like, Kyle Korver spent years as like an outstanding six man.
Mm-hmm.
He had some years where he started, but of the 1,232 games he played as a pro, 423 of those came mm-hmm. as a starter. So he had 800 games coming off the bench. And there's a value to that.
Dude, and that's where if you're Mike Brown, and if it was up to me, mm-hmm. I would start Keon Ellis. And if Kevin Herter is not in a space that he can be an effective basketball player within the scope of this team because he's not a starter, then sorry.
Yeah.
Then we'll figure something else out. But I think there's so much value, like you said. Can you get him to buy in and just go, hey, man, look, you can, okay, we can start you. You can play a few minutes to start the game, but you're not going to get a ton of looks and you're going to hang out in the corner and you're going to get cooked defensively. Or you can come off the bench. You don't have to worry so much about playing on defense and you can just be a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go. We're gonna put you in a position. You're gonna get shots, and you're gonna be able to go score.
You and Malik,
with the second unit.
You and Malik are just gonna wreak havoc on the league.
Yep.
As two guys that are scoring from all over the place off the bench. And like, look,
and that to me is where you said it. That's his greatest value to the Kings organization right now.
Yes. Yeah. And I would even say this too, the way that, like, if we go back to the mountain climbing, right, metaphor.
Yes.
right? If we go back to this, the way that players like Jordan McLaughlin and Alex Len and even Trey Lyles to a certain degree, but Jalen McDaniels, the way that they find their footing as teammates and as players is if a guy like Kevin Huerter becomes something different, if he is coming off the bench, becomes a double-digit scorer off the bench that draws attention, that allows them to play into their more natural position and be defenders and be guys who, again, Jordan McLaughlin, one of the great like deflecting guys in the league per minute. Like he gets his hands.
He never answers a question. There. He's just constantly
deflecting. He's a deflector. Yeah, primo deflector. Yeah, but like
he
if
leads
you,
the league in like pass deflections, getting his hand on the basketball.
He's one of those guys that like he is like a defensive, a guy who causes problems defensively, right? Mm-hmm. So my point though is that like, look, if those guys need to be guys who are averaging 8 to 10 points a game, you might not that might not be the best thing for them. But if they have two guys off the bench that all of the focus is drawn to them, and you're allowed to just settle in and be a great defender and do your thing, it just makes the team better as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's something that, like, you hope that it works out. But again, if someone isn't comfortable in a position, you gotta figure out either a way to get him into a different position or a way for him not to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping that the Kings don't have to do, because Kevin Huerter, I think, has a ton of value.
Speaking of which, what's the timeline with him? You were talking about his shoulder earlier. Is he going to play in the preseason?
Well, I mean, he's hoping that maybe he'll get back in time for preseason, but again, he needs to do what the doctors are telling him, not what he wants to do, which would be to get out there and play as quickly as possible. He's got to be smart about it, because this is something that he's had since he was a kid. You know, he tore up his shoulder when he was very young. And so, like, look, he won't be cleared for full contact until mid-October. That means that he'll be able to go through all the walkthroughs. He'll be able to go through all of the basics, all of the getting out on the court and running and shooting and all that stuff. He just won't be able to be in the 5-on-5 like scrimmages that this team is going to have.
Yeah.
And so that's going to put him a little bit behind the eight ball. But like, this is a guy who's in his, what, 7th NBA season, 6th NBA season.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how to play the game, and he's a guy who is going to walk out there and be able to step on the court. You know, Devin Carter talked about this yesterday. Oh, I'll be fine. Like, I'm not missing. I'm gonna be watching and learning, and then I'll be ready whenever I'm healthy and I'm cleared to go. I'll be, you know, maybe I'll need a couple of games in the G League, but I'll be ready to jump on the court. It's like, yeah, that's probably not the way it's going to work.
Yeah, right.
Like, but when Kevin Huerter, who again has a body of work that you're looking at, 6 seasons of basketball, there is, you know, that knowledge, that understanding, and there's a difference. And so I think that there's a possibility that Kevin Huerter, like, steps on the court pretty quickly early in the season. I don't know if he'll make it back for a preseason game, but certainly the first week or two of the season, I believe he'll be back on the court.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. There any other big questions that you're looking to get answered during training camp in the preseason?
Yeah, I kind of want to know like what they're going to do with the 15th roster spot, whether they're going to keep that open or whether whether they're going to give one of these guys a shot. You know, again, like Scal Lubisier is in camp. Terry Taylor is in camp. Terry Taylor is, you know, like really, really intriguing as like a versatile guy. But also, like, shout out to Mason Jones. Maybe Mason Jones is a guy who comes in and plays so well, and I know he's been playing really well during like the build up to camp. He looks great. He lost something like 45 pounds from the time he signed with Stockton until the end of the season, and now he's made that who he is. He's become like a yoga guy, and he's really working on his, not only his body, but his mental approach. He even talked about like not bleaching his hair different colors yet, because he just wants to be known for the guy who's on the court playing hard, and what the focus that he's had this offseason to get to get an NBA contract.
Sure.
That he kind of wants to stay focused. He might diet at some point, but for right now, that's been sort of like his mantra throughout the offseason. Maybe he's so impactful that they've got to move him up to the main roster and open up one of their two-way spots. So I think that there's that last piece is intriguing to me. And I also want to know, like, does Orlando Robinson have something? Does Jalen McDaniels have something?
Yeah.
You know, can he bounce back from just a really, really tough bummer of a season where he signed in Toronto for 2 years and then sat on the bench the whole year and got nothing? And how do you deal with that? And especially coming off a really good season in Charlotte, and then he was traded to Philly during that season before to be part of their playoff run. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued about all of these other little pieces. But I think the core, we kind of know who they are.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I need Mason Jones when the Kings, if and when the Kings fill their 15th roster spot. That's when I need him to dye his hair, like the smoke when they select a new pope.
Oh.
That's how we'll know that an announcement is coming, is Mason Jones pulls up with green hair or purple hair or whatever.
That would be fun. Hey, look, if he can get right, you look at his G League stats. 15.9 points, 5 rebounds. And
where does he fit?
Eight assists. He fits as like a 3, like off the bench, especially if Herter isn't, you know, a super athlete who instigates and who wreaks havoc.
Just hustles, yeah.
Yeah, just hustle guy. I mean, that's who you are at this point. I mean, that's, again, I listening to Terry Taylor, he understands who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how, if I'm going to make a team, if I'm going to be part of something, I know how I get there. And how I get there is by being not a scorer, not being one of the, I need to do all of the dirty work.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then maybe I got a shot.
I don't think they have a guy like that.
Yeah. I mean, Devin Carter is one of those types of players. Like, that's sort of like who he is. And I think Keon is a little bit of a dirty work player.
Yeah, no, you're right. Keon. I think I put Keon in a... To me, he should be starting. And I think that, to me, is a different tier than, oh, that guy might come in for 4 minutes and cause a problem in a game where, hey, they just kind of look sluggish and they need a spark.
Yeah, it's funny because Keon can be Bruce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He can be like one of these players. He can be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I firmly believe that.
I'm so, like, we're talking about things we're interested in with the Kings this year, and this might be more of a regular season thing than a training camp thing, but Keon flashed so much more as a shooter last year than I thought he would. And what do you have, one game where he had like 7 made threes?
At least.
Something like that? Yeah. He just, and it felt like, I swear to God, I never saw him miss. it was insane. So I'm interested to see, was that a one-off? Because that happens sometimes. Julius Randle, who we talked about the other day, shot 41% from 3 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then was back to 30% the next year, 34% or whatever. So sometimes that happens. A guy just kind of gets red hot and shoots a great percentage. Or is that just what Keon Ellis is going to be, where, hey, he's a really reliable shooter, and does he become a secondary ball handler? Like, how does his game continue to grow? Because just his playing style and his acumen defensively, just how just A, his IQ, his length and his ability to be in passing lanes, his ability to get through screens. There are so many things he does effectively defensively that I think he's going to keep him in the league for a long time. Now, if he becomes a really reliable 3-point shooter, mm-hmm. or a really reliable, like, tertiary scorer, now all of a sudden you're talking about a player who becomes super, super valuable.
I get that. Last year he had a game where he went 8 of 15 against OKC.
My Lanta.
Yeah, he scored 26 points. He also had plenty of games. He had 11 games where he hit 3 or more threes. Here's the deal. Like, I've talked about this before, but the key to Keon Ellis is that Keon Ellis is being asked to be the same player he was in high school, the same player he was in college, the same player he was in the G League, the same player he was sitting on the bench. He's being asked to do a very specific role. Be a crazy defender, mm-hmm. and hit your three. Don't do anything else.
Right.
Like, they put him in summer league and said, hey, go ahead and expand your role a little bit, so mm-hmm. in case you need to go off the dribble every once in a while, we got you.
Right.
But realistically, if you have a defined role in the NBA, it mm-hmm. makes life so much easier.
Facts.
And finding guys that can fit those roles, it's the mistakes that teams make. And I always bring this back to Dante Green for some reason.
Mm.
Like, Dante Green was drafted with the thought that, okay, Dante Green is either going to be like a Carmelo Anthony type scorer, or we'll convert him into a 3 and D, 6'10", 3'4".
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, you can't have both worlds.
Yeah, right.
You're either one guy or you're the other. And the guy who gets caught in the middle doesn't survive in the NBA.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of it. So having guys who know exactly who they are, and this even bled into a larger conversation that Mike had about when he was coaching with Greg Popovich in San Antonio Spurs. He's like, he's like, just so you know, like, we had a Hall of Famer sitting on our bench, Manu Ginobili. He's like, Manu Ginobili is literally in the Hall of Fame. And the guy in front of him was Bruce Bowen, who was a better starter for us.
Yeah.
Bruce Bowen's not in the Hall of Fame, but Manu is.
Right.
So Malik Monk, you can go be in the Hall of Fame doing this. You can be special and elite and do the things that you do. But for the team to win, sometimes it's better to have a Bruce Bowen or a Keon Ellis. And man, if you can find a way to get, you know, Keon Ellis to Bruce Bowen status, then that's how I think this team takes that next huge
It changes
leap.
It changes your identity completely. Yeah, and that wasn't to say that Keon Ellis needs to do all that. It's just I'm intrigued to see, does he continue to be a reliable offensive player, or is it, oh man, he comes crashing back down to earth and now all of a sudden the Kings have to figure out whether they're playing 4-on-5 offensively with him.
Yeah. If he can be...
That's the question for me.
And for me, like, Bruce Bowen for his career averaged 6.1 points per game on 39.3% shooting from three.
Yep.
You're not asking for him to score 12.
Yep.
If Keon Ellis can score 8 in a starting lineup, he can easily start for this team for the next 5 years.
Yep. That's it. All right. James, get down to Kings training camp. We'll continue discussing that. Kings basketball, it's here. Basketball is not back until opening night tip-off. So for the Kings, that is, we can say basketball is back on Thursday, October 24th. That's when this show will say basketball is back, but boy, it is very, very close. We got training camp. We'll be talking about that all week and all leading up to the regular season. James, go have a great time at camp. I'll be back. We got some 49er stuff to get to, MLB playoffs beginning, and of course we'll have the handoff with Kenny Caraway next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm going to do what James Hamm does. He is headed down to Kings Media Day. So I'm hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Not Media Day, training camp. Training camp for the Kings starts today. Their preseason opener is slated for October 9th. That is next Wednesday. They will host the Golden State Warriors at Golden 1 Center. Then they'll be at Golden State on Friday. and then Portland, then at Utah and at the Clippers, and then they have a week until the regular season opens at Golden 1 Center against the Minnesota Timberwolves on October 24th. Cannot wait for Kings basketball. Also want to remind everybody to subscribe to our podcast. It's the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. There's a bunch of legal reasons that we couldn't call it The Insiders. So it's the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, but it's this show. We upload each hour. We upload the whole show. So if you miss anything, you want to go revisit anything, it is there for you. Please subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Leave a rating. Leave a review as long as you like the show. If you don't like the show, keep your thoughts to yourself, but please subscribe. I'm joking. We're always open to criticism. Playoff baseball begins today. We'll have some playoff baseball coverage for you tomorrow on ESPN 1320. I want to remind you that we have some Golden Sky VIP passes we are giving away. The country music community is well known for its love of trucks, beer, and football. Whether they shout, "Go Dogs!" or wear the infamous Tennessee orange during football season, everyone has a favorite team. Hell yeah. I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't do this read first. I didn't read through it first, so I'm reading it verbatim. ESPN wants listeners to show off their team spirit for a chance to win VIP tickets to see Thomas Rhett, who is a Georgia Bulldogs fan. Although it just says Bulldogs, that could maybe be Ferris State. Maybe it's not Georgia. And Riley Green, whose favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys at Golden Sky on Saturday, October 19th, ESPN 1320 fans can enter a photo of them repping their team's colors online at ESPN1320.com for a chance to win two VIP Saturday passes, two park and ride shuttle passes, and two exclusive passes to the Golden Sky Beer Festival. Plus, all winners will be qualified for a chance to meet Riley Green. Those colors can be your high school team, your college team, your favorite NFL team. Enter at ESPN1320.com right now. All right, speaking of football. So we learned on Friday that Christian McCaffrey has bilateral Achilles tendonitis. John Lynch mentioned this during his hit on a Bay Area radio station, and it then came to light. I think it just kind of got passed over because there was kind of so much going on going into the weekend. It kind of got passed over until it was brought up by Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area on his podcast. And I've reached the point now, and I've kind of been trending this way, but now that Kyle Shanahan kind of brushed it aside. He was like, yeah, he had the tendonitis in one side and he overcompensated, so he got it in the other side, but it's mainly in one. It's like, man, you're talking multiple Achilles issues. If the 49ers get anything from Christian McCaffrey this year, it'll just be a bonus for me. That's to me where you have to land. I don't think that they can plan, and if they are, I think they're failing, frankly. I don't think they can look and plan and go, all right, well, hey, Christian McCaffrey will be back by November, so what we'll do is we'll run Jordan Mason into the ground for now. We'll figure out the red zone issues, because that, to me, is their biggest problem offensively right now, is they cannot score in the red zone. They're converting at 50%. 50% of their red zone trips are going for touchdowns. It's not a great number. And if they're going to get that, they're going to have to adjust something and be better at that. If they want it, you can beat the Patriots like that. You can beat the Jets like that. You can hang around against the Rams like that. You're not going to beat good teams in that way. So that's something they have to fix. And if they're going to rely on Christian McCaffrey to fix it, I think they might be hosed, because there's just no way. There's no way you can look at a player who with Christian McCaffrey's skill set and workload. There's no way you can look at a bilateral Achilles tendonitis issue that required him to go on IR for an unknown amount of time and also required him to go to Germany to receive treatment. There's just no way you can reliably go, oh yeah, we'll have our running back. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we'll just wait. That'll fix all our offensive problems. Like, no, man, they have an issue offensively. They're scoring fine. They're kicking a bunch of field goals. Okay, and it's worked. They're 2-2 right now. The offense looked a little better. Brock Purdy leading the league in passing yards. He's like second in the league in average depth of target. The offense looks different for sure, and it's working okay. But man, if you can't score in the red zone, you are not going to win a championship. And that's the bar for this team. Whether you think they're going to win one or not, that's the bar that they have set for themselves and the bar they've set with their success over the last few years. So if they're waiting around on Christian McCaffrey to fix all their problems, they're doing it wrong. And maybe they'd be right. Maybe Christian McCaffrey comes back after the bye week. Maybe he's back in week 10. Everything looks normal. He has a normal workload. Jordan Mason's getting sprinkled in here and there. But hey, it's mainly the Christian McCaffrey show, and hey, everything's hunky-dory and everything's fine. I just do not think that you can operate that way. They cannot be banking on Christian McCaffrey to be on the field. And if you're, we talk a lot of fantasy football on the show. Tune into Fantasy Fridays of Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy every Friday at 10:30 a.m. We're answering your fantasy football questions. To me, like, man, if you want to trade Christian McCaffrey, I'm not against it. If you want to say, man, I'm going to, if there's somebody who's just dying to get him because they think he's going to be back and they think he's going to help him in the fantasy playoffs, like, all right. But even if and when he does come back, I don't think you're going to see, like, that's the other thing, is when he does come back, there's just no way. If you're managing bilateral Achilles tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis in both legs, I don't think there's any way that you can go out there and go, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take this guy off IR. Okay, he's good to go. He's gotten his ramp up. Okay, he's healthy. We're going to give him 25 touches a game or 22 touches a game or however many he had last year. 20. Let's call it 20. Yeah, we're going to give him 20 touches a game. Like, you just can't do that, man. That's just not that's not sustainable. If you're trying to manage this injury to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs, then I think you're going to see Jordan Mason has proven himself. Jordan Mason is a starting caliber NFL running back. Like, if you're looking for a player to spell Christian McCaffrey, you've got him right there. You don't have to wonder if he can play in your offense. Can he do all the things Christian McCaffrey does? No. But can he spell Christian McCaffrey and make sure that McCaffrey's touching the ball 12, 14 times a game instead of 20, 25? Yes. So from the fantasy football perspective, just while we're here, that to me, if you want to trade Christian McCaffrey, if you can get some value for him, yeah, send him out. Because even when he does come back, I don't think you're going to see the workload that you saw last year. Will he score touchdowns? Like, yeah, he's going to be a red zone weapon for sure. But the sheer volume and the yards and all that, I just don't think it's going to be there. I think they're going to manage that injury. You're going to see him, if he does come back, you're going to see him resting on Wednesdays in practice, and he's going to get into games on Sunday. He might be questionable a couple of times because he had a little flare-up or whatever. I just think it's going to be something you're not going to want to deal with. And I don't believe that's something the 49ers can bank on. Figure it out with Jordan Mason. He's a good player. You drafted a freaking running back, and you traded two picks to draft a running back in the fourth round. Maybe put that player on the field. I don't know. Try something novel. Try something different. You kept Patrick Taylor III on your team. Hey, maybe he did some third down work for the Packers. Maybe you throw him in. But I just don't think this Jordan Mason is going to carry it 387 times or whatever number he's on pace for. That's just not going to fly. And it sure seems like they're letting that fly because they're banking on Christian McCaffrey coming back. It looks like they're not doing anything differently in the red zone because they're banking on Christian McCaffrey coming back. I just don't think it's going to work, man. I really don't. Maybe he does. And that would be awesome. They're a better team when they have him on the field. But bilateral Achilles tendonitis? Okay, Achilles tendonitis is bad enough. But you got it in two legs? Mm-mm. Not banking on it. Kyle Madsen riding solo. James Hamm is on his way to Kings training camp. I want to remind you, stay tapped into ESPN 1320. James and I are live and local 10 to noon. Every single day, and then we hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they rock with you from noon to four. So James, we'll be doing the very best Kings coverage out there. I'm so excited. Basketball season is back. That's part of the reason I fell in love with Sacramento. If you don't know me, I'm from the Bay Area, and I went to school up here at Sac State. Stinger's up. My Stinger's way up. Hopefully they join the Pac-12. That'd be sick. But I digress. One of the things I love about this market is how much the city loves the Kings and just loves basketball in general. I learned that I was here in radio during the Here We Stay stuff, right? That was when I first started interning at a different radio station and watching the fan base and the community back the Kings was just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And that was what made me fall in love with the city and with Kings fans. And there's just nothing better than being in Sacramento when the Kings are good. And I think they're going to be good this year, and I'm really excited for this basketball season. So shout out to James, who is doing yeoman's work, going from the show, getting down to Golden One Center, and he will be there for training camp, which begins today, and we'll be covering it for you right here on the Insiders and D'Lo and KC. Speaking of the 49ers real quick, and speaking of schedules, because we mentioned the Kings opened their preseason schedule October 9th against the Golden State Warriors at Golden One Center, 7:30 p.m. tip for that one. with Monday Night Football last night and the Seahawks losing, the Niners have a massive stretch of schedule coming up. And it was already going to be a big deal because they play Arizona in week 5. And then they get Seattle. They're at Seattle on a Thursday night in week 6. And then they're home against the Cowboys and against Kansas City. Let's split these into two games each. You got to get the game against Arizona because you can't fall to 2-3. You have to beat the Cardinals. I have some concerns because I think the Cardinals' offense is probably pretty good, although they only scored 14 against the Commanders. But that game got away from them because apparently the Commanders are building an unstoppable juggernaut of an offense and they're going to take over the world. The Niners have to beat Arizona. And then you get into a spot against Seattle where your best case scenario is if you win, you are in sole possession of first place. If you beat Arizona, your worst case scenario going into Seattle is you win and you're tied for first place with the head-to-head tiebreaker. And typically this wouldn't matter. Typically you'd go, yeah, it's early. Like, who cares about the division standings? But the 49ers, with their losses in week 2 and 3, have put themselves in a position where, hey man, all of these games are going to matter going forward. Their margin for error has shrunk precipitously, especially within the division. You lose that game to the Rams, and now you got division games coming up against Arizona and Seattle. To me, you got to go get those games. Kenny Carroll will be joining me for the handoff here shortly, and I'm really excited that he's here to talk with me about this. And then they get Dallas, who is just apparently not very good this year, and then they're going to get a really beat-up version of the Kansas City Chiefs. And a Kansas City Chiefs team that is 4-0, and we went through it yesterday, Jesse and I did, a Chiefs team that is inexplicably 4-0. You can kind of go through each of their games and pick out one or two plays from those games, and you go, man, that could really easily been a loss for them. So this is an opportunity for San Francisco, maybe their best opportunity to, if they're playing well going into that game against Kansas City, assuming Kansas City hasn't figured it out and looks like a juggernaut again, where, hey, maybe you can actually knock off the Chiefs one time. Maybe you can beat Patrick Mahomes one time. And this is where the Niners can make up a couple of games and make up for some of their early season stumbles. I will say the 49ers, historically under Kyle Shanahan, they do struggle in October. 13-19 in October. 39-22 from January.
I was about to say.
From November to January. Kenny Carraway in the building. What's up, Kenny?
I was about to say, what's that November, December?
Right? Yeah, man.
Like that, that's crazy. I wouldn't rely on that all the time, but that's a crazy,
yeah, they just,
crazy number.
They've been better in September the last couple of years. Mm. So they're 14-12, I think, in September. Mm. And then 13-19 in October.
Mm.
And then just immediately, like their winning percentage after October goes up every single month.
That's crazy. I'm trying to think the last couple of Octobers that I can think of. Man, so they had the one where they were 3-5,
mm-hmm.
and Jimmy and them went into Chicago and got that win that kind of turned their season around in 20.
No, but then they turned around and immediately lost to Arizona.
They lost to Arizona after that game?
I believe so.
Yeah, they might have. I thought they lost to Arizona before.
We're talking 2021, right?
Yeah, they lost to the Colts on a Sunday night. Maybe that's what put them to 3-5.
Yeah, so they lost at Arizona in Trey Lance's first start, uh-huh. to go to 2-3. They had the bye week.
Uh-huh.
Garoppolo has to start against the Colts in the rain.
That was a disaster.
Just a mess of a game. Drake Kirkpatrick playing.
Done with Jimmy.
Yeah, that was bad. And then they beat the Bears,
uh-huh.
and Debo had the long screen, and then I think he had a long touchdown as well. It's the deep one, like inside the five. Yeah,
yeah, before the half.
And then they lost to the Cardinals, and that was the one where like Eno Benjamin like railroaded Drake Kirkpatrick. Is like, all right, this game's over. Like, my God. And then they went on, they beat the Rams on Monday Night Football.
That's the one. That's the one that turned them around. Jimmy Ward got two picks. Got a pick six in that game.
Beat the hell out of the Jags. Beat the Vikings.
But that the whole point was that Monday night game was November what?
15.
Yeah.
So October that year, they went 0-1, 0-2. They went 1-3 in October that year.
Mm. And then the following year.
22.
They actually played well, I would think. Because that's when Jimmy and Brock and all this other stuff. But then
2022, they split their four games in October. That was, they beat Carolina in Carolina.
Yeah.
And then they lose to the Falcons, lose to the Chiefs, and then beat the Rams.
And then they beat everybody until
Brock's
ligament in his elbow went crazy.
Yeah, went crazy.
And then last year wasn't a 3-game losing streak in October, huh?
Or end of October into November? No, all in October. Yeah. They won their first two on October 1st, October 8th, and then the 15th, 23rd, and 29th, they lost all those.
Damn, October's all
crazy.
Bad.
Crazy. Hey, they got to reverse the trend this year. They can't afford to have a bad October.
Don't reverse it too much. Go 1-3, go 2-2, or whatever the case may be, and then just go crazy in November and December like you have. Don't reverse it too much. I don't want them to go.
Just this month.
Okay.
October.
But if we're reversing it, that means they're going to go real bad in November.
They got to split. They have to eat. They got 4 games in October.
I think they go 3-1.
You'd be okay with 2-2?
2-2 gets them at 4-4.
4-4 going into the bye?
I mean, I wouldn't be okay with it. Like, I'd rather them be 5-3, but 4-4, you keep your head above water. You're still trying to figure out this thing with Christian McCaffrey.
I was just saying before you got in here, for me this year, I don't think they can rely on McCaffrey coming back.
When he went to Germany, I said, he's not playing this year.
He might as well stay
over
there.
Yeah, he's not playing. That was my thought. Maybe it was a coping mechanism or whatever, but you don't just, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, you don't just go to Germany and then you're back in 3 weeks. You don't Germany.
Right.
And then you're back and through like, nah.
They're starting the ramp up and they keep saying November. Like November is the date that kind of keeps, and that actually kind of falls in line with what I've been saying. Like give him through the bye week and then figure out if he can come back or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're starting this ramp up, like intensifying the ramp up today or yesterday.
Mm.
What does that mean? Is it testing it? Is it they have a very strict schedule that he's on?
Yeah.
Because at some point I feel like they would be like, yeah, hey, 6 weeks, or the fact that they haven't given any kind of number or any kind of even Kyle Shanahan, when guys got hurt in the preseason, like, yeah, half the season. Mm-hmm. Like, he's given some kind. There's just been nothing with McCaffrey.
But Adam Schefter was with Pat McAfee, and he was basically saying, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And that's, I don't think that's anybody's fault or anything. Like, nobody knows. With an Achilles, nobody knows. And especially when it's something like tendonitis, from person to person, that lingers, the time varies. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It could take some people a month. It could take people, some people, 9 months. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You just don't know. They're treating it as well as they possibly can. But I don't think anybody knows when Christian McCaffrey's coming back.
I don't think he knows.
I don't think he does either.
Mm-mm.
I don't think he does either. I mean, it's I'm sure it's frustrating, but it's just one of those things. You have no idea how the body's going to react, how much the Achilles and the calf can take. And,
mm-hmm.
and to be honest with you, Kyle, it feels like it's something you don't find out until you play.
Yeah, and I think is it at a point that they can effectively manage it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and again, I'm sorry for everybody, we just went over this, but that's why the Jordan Mason thing is such a big deal to me.
Mm.
Because now you're in a spot where, man, you have full trust in Jordan Mason now.
Mm-hmm.
When Christian McCaffrey comes back, it doesn't have to be, hey, he's going to get every single touch in this game. We need this game, and he's going to get every single. Like, no, man, you got the second leading rusher in the NFL sitting right there.
Yeah.
Like, he can legitimately split snaps where Christian McCaffrey can be used. I mean, you're going to use him in more than just like red zone and third downs.
Right.
But you can go, hey, man. In the third quarter today, you're not going to play between the 20s.
Mm.
Like you just hang out. Mason's got it, and if we get down to the red zone, then we'll pop him in.
They did that. I don't know what happened exactly, and I don't know if you caught it, but they did that in week one, where there, I think it was a touchdown drive, or maybe it was a long drive with a field goal. But Ayuk and Deebo didn't play at all in a series, and I kept looking out there. I was like, Conley. He's still out there, and Juwan Jennings, and like I said, maybe they were hurt. Maybe I don't think it was part of the plan necessarily.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But they didn't play a whole series.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Well, Ayuk, he wasn't hurt. I don't know if he was just tired or they were managing
probably
or whatever.
That, yeah,
but he didn't play a whole series, so they may pull one of those moves with Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason when they come back. The thing that I'm worried about, and I think you talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is I now need a backup for Jordan Mason. Because if he goes down,
oh, I'm so happy you said this. Yeah. I have a theory.
Because poor Guerrero, I don't know if it's rookie hazing. They just don't block for him. He gets the ball. There's nine people in the backfield.
He had the five carries against the Rams, and you got Chris Forrester, the offensive line coach, like, yeah, he looked great. Kyle Shanahan going, yep, looked exactly like we expected. We've been really impressed with them. One carry. The next day, like, hey, man, here's my working theory.
That fumble can't happen, though.
That was
tough.
The way
it happened, that can't happen.
Yeah, I think that's why they didn't put him back in. Mm. Like, you're going to think about this, and you'll be back next game. Mm. I will say this, though. My pet take right now is that, like, they need to get Juwan Jennings on the field more, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's playing, I don't know that he's their best receiver, but he's playing, like, their best receiver right now. Mm-hmm. You have to ride that. Like, you have to pause. You have to have him on the field, right? So, I think you can kill two birds with one stone.
Mm.
Because you're not going to go, Shanahan already said, nope, not going to do more three wide. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think they can, and you put Deebo in the backfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
I don't want to say, this is not Juwan Jennings makes Deebo expendable, uh-huh. but I feel better about giving Deebo Samuel some carries and maybe, hey, you're going to take some plays off, knowing that, yeah, you got Juwan Jennings who can fill in fine. Uh-huh. So now basically, okay, you're running more three receiver stuff, but it's Deebo Samuel in the backfield. And maybe he's getting 5, 6, 7 carries in a game. They don't all have to be up the middle, but he's getting 5, 6, 7 carries in a game. Okay, but hey, he's going to go get a rest. He's going to go take a few plays off because, hey, they have a very, very more than adequate fill-in in Juwan Jennings.
Mm. So I like where you're going. I'm with that. I understand that. I'm with that. But I was going even crazier.
Oh, let's go.
I was going even crazier.
Come on.
You get Deebo in the backfield more.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get Juwan Jennings on the field more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you put Brandon Ayuk in the slot because out wide is number 17. Yeah, you make that call. You make that call because
Brandon Allen?
You make that call to Las Vegas and say, what
Stop.
You need for this man?
They're going to say,
go
Brandon Ayuk.
I don't know. I don't know.
Is
we got something we got to talk about? I mean, we might. I didn't say this is
it.
What we're going
to
do.
We
I
might
said,
have to talk
I
about
said
it.
Okay, you said Brandon Ayuk. Let me think about this. I didn't hang up on you. I didn't say no way. I said, let me think about this. Let me talk to the powers that be. I don't know.
Younger, but
I don't
man,
know.
He's not. Devontae Adams not wearing the wrong color shorts at practice.
Devontae Adams, he got other
Devontae
issues.
Adams not.
You,
not
you can't
showing
really,
up.
Can't really trust on that. Trust that. But I don't know.
I don't hate it.
We gonna talk about D'Lo and KC, and I'm gonna get off the fence.
Oh,
I'm gonna get off the fence.
Oh,
I'm gonna say, look, this is the deal. You doing this or not?
I love that.
Mm.
Doing
you
King,
might have, you
King's
might have to pop in for a second
well?
Too, and
King's,
just answer the question too.
Okay,
oh, yeah, King's training
I'll be
camp.
Around. Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, King's training camp for sure. It's starting off. The season is here, Kyle. We're back.
It's not. Basketball's not. The Kings can be back. Basketball's not back. The Kings are back, though. D'Lo and KC back as well. We'll be back tomorrow. James Hamm and I, the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, will be here at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Stay tapped into D'Lo and KC. They're hanging out with you until 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. The Insider's back tomorrow at 10. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. Boop!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.